Hare Krishna. We welcome you to the most auspicious celebration today of Shri Gaur Purnima, which is the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. According to Vedic scriptures, the absolute truth is realized in three features: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The impersonalists speculators, they want to merge and become one with God, one with the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, which is nothing but the transcendental effulgence emanating from the divine body of Sri Krishna. Beyond the impersonal Brahman is Paramatma, the Lord within the heart, and also the Purusha avatars, Karna Dakshai Vishnu and Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu, and Garbhodakshai Vishnu. They are all in different ways the soul of the universe, the soul of creation, the soul of souls. But even beyond realization of the impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the source of Paramatma and Brahman. That same Krishna, who appeared about 5,000 years ago, appeared again about 500 years ago as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why is it that Krishna, who came 5,000 years ago and spoke the Bhagavad Gita and exhibited so many pastimes, why is it that he came again? So in the authorized scripture, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Krishna's thoughts after he had manifested his pastimes on earth 5,000 years ago are recorded. And these thoughts explain why he came again 500 years ago as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. We are all sitting here by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and his followers in disciplic succession, especially His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And practically every activity that takes place here is based on the instructions and example of Krishna Chaitanya. Practically you cannot find any aspect of the Krishna consciousness movement that is not based on his teachings and precedents. So it is very important, essential for us to understand him. Because without understanding him, we cannot really progress very well towards the ultimate goal of life. So I shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 3. Text 13. After describing the advent of Lord Krishna on earth, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, beginning text 13, Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus, for a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions, but simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration, but devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After his appearance, Lord Krishna thought that he had not distributed the transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literature and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Lord Krishna is served by the residents of Vrajabhumi. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord. But there is no chance for one to enter personal dealings with him. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering personal loving affairs with the Lord. To teach the principle of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Text 19. Yuga Dharma Pravataimu Nama Sankirtana Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya Nachumu Bhuvana. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, revealing the four mellows of loving devotional service. So the Lord came to introduce the Yuga Dharma, the recommended process for self-realization or God-realization in the present age, and that is Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Text 20. Apani karimu bhakta bhava angikare apani achari bhakti sikamu sabare. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one associates with a pure devotee, he becomes so elevated that he does not aspire even for Sharsti, Sarupya, Samipya, or Salokya, because he feels that such liberation is a type of sense gratification. Pure devotees do not ask anything from the Lord for their personal benefit. Even if offered personal benefits, pure devotees do not accept them, because their only desire is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by transcendental loving service. So this is a very important point. Externally, one may engage in devotional service, and that is very good. But what really matters in devotional service is the consciousness. We are living in the material world, which is composed of and influenced by the three modes of material nature: tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun, the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness. And beyond even sattva-gun is shuddha-sattva, or the state of Vasudeva, which is transcendental to all three modes. Within the material world, no one can be in pure ignorance or pure passion or pure goodness. There will always be some mixing of the different modes. Only when one comes to the transcendental platform is he freed from the influence of the modes. So Srila Prabhupada has explained different mentalities which one can have in the practice of devotional service. The same principles are enunciated in the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but Srila Prabhupada has phrased it in a way that we can easily understand and relate to. So someone engaged in devotional service under the influence of the mode of ignorance, will think, I'm the only devotee. No one else here is a real devotee. I'm the only one who's doing anything of value here. Everyone else is useless. So that is devotional service influenced by the mode of ignorance. In devotional service influenced by the mode of passion, one thinks, I want to be the best devotee. I want to be known for being the best devotee. Someone influenced by the mode of goodness will think, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. And someone who is transcendentally situated in pure devotional service will think, I just want to please Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach and show by his personal example pure devotional service, in which a devotee has no selfish desire even to go back to Godhead. As Srila Prabhupada says, a pure devotee considers the liberation of going back to Godhead to be a sort of sense gratification. He only wants to serve the Lord. That is pure devotional service. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to taught, to teach and exemplify. And that is what Srila Prabhupada also taught and exemplified and wanted us to follow. Therefore, when the Lord took the place of the incarnation of Kali Yuga to spread the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, this is an important point, that Krishna himself does not come in every Kali Yuga, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna himself doesn't come in every Dwapara Yuga. There is a Yuga avatar or incarnation, every Sattva Yuga, every Treta Yuga, every Dwapara Yuga, and every Kali Yuga. But only once in a day of Brahma, which is about 4,300,000 years, once in that period, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, will come in Dwapara Yuga. And only once in a day of Brahma will Krishna come again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. And that is in the Kali Yuga immediately following the Dwapara Yuga in which Krishna appeared. So we can just imagine how fortunate we are to be living in the Kali Yuga in which Krishna Chaitanya appeared. There's still one little one in need of comforting. Request the parents to be attentive to the needs of their children. And when Lord Chaitanya was present, he predicted, Prativite acheja to nagaradigram sarvatra prachor hoive marna. In every town and village of every country of the world, my name, or Krishna's name, will be preached or sung. And that prediction seemed almost inconceivable. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. But the idea of spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world seemed impossible. Even followers of Lord Chaitanya thought that he may be speaking in some poetic way or metaphorical way, not that it would actually happen. And in one of the revealed scriptures, a devotee asks Lord Chaitanya, how is it possible? How is it possible that the Sankirtan movement will spread to every town and village of the world? And Lord Chaitanya replied that I will send my Senapati Bhakta to do this work. Senapati means the commander-in-chief. A very special soul. Very special soul would be entrusted to do this otherwise impossible assignment. And that we know is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who lived within the lifetimes of many of us. He left this world in 1977, which is only 33 years ago. So anyone older than 33 years was on the planet at the same time as Srila Prabhupada, the Senapati Bhakta, who was personally sent by Krishna, by Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are sitting in a temple that was established within his society that he founded by one of his direct disciples, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami. So we have an amazing opportunity. We have an amazing opportunity. And so we should understand how fortunate we are to have this opportunity and take full advantage of it. And how do we take full advantage of it? Well, we first have to understand what it means to take advantage of it. In other words, we have to understand what Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada came to give us, so we can recognize it and accept it. So Lord Chaitanya says, I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, when the Lord took the place of the incarnation of Kali Yuga, in other words, the Lord himself doesn't personally come to be the Yuga avatar in every Kali Yuga. When the Lord took the place of the incarnation of Kali Yuga to spread the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, the system of worship recommended in this age, he also distributed the process of devotional service performed on the platform of transcendental spontaneous love. Jai Shri Sharada Nila Madhava Ki
Jai
Shri Giri Govardhan Ki
Jai
Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki
Jai
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To teach the highest principles of spiritual life, the Lord Himself appeared as a devotee in the form of Lord Chaitanya. So now I will read from another section of Chaitanya Charitamrita about two of the most important principles of devotional service that Lord Chaitanya taught and that we are meant to learn and adopt. This discussion took place between Lord Chaitanya and the Mayavadi sannyasis in Benares. In the Shankara Sampradaya, it is expected that sannyasis will study Vedanta. And Varanasi is a place that is full of Mayavadis, full of followers or so-called followers of Shankaracharya. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, he performed Harinam Sankirtan, Nagar Sankirtan, and hundreds and thousands of people joined him. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, the impersonal sannyasis who want to realize Brahman, as we mentioned earlier, they could not understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. They thought that the activities of the Lord were material. That's why they are called Mayavadis, because they themselves are material. They're on the material platform, and they see the Lord, His name, His form, His qualities, His pastimes, His service, as material, as Maya. And therefore they are called Mayavadis. They think that the deity is material. That in the beginning we focus on the deity, but when we are advanced enough, we go beyond the deity and merge and become one with the impersonal light. They're atheists, in other words. They're atheists. In fact, there is a very nice verse in the Padma Purana that says that anyone who thinks that the deity is just stone, who thinks that the guru is an ordinary human being, or who thinks that a Vaishnav belongs to a certain caste or community, is a resident of hell. The word is used, Naraki. So just think, if you think that the deity is made of stone, of course, in theory we may say the deity is Krishna, but to what extent do we actually believe that the deity is Krishna, as shown by our behavior? if one thinks that the spiritual master is an ordinary person, and again, we may outwardly show respect, but the real test is to what extent we follow the master's instructions. And if we think that a Vaishnava belongs to a certain community or ethnic group, for example, if I think, oh, that's an American Vaishnava, or that's a black Vaishnava, it goes on and on. That's a Mexican Vaishnava, Punjabi Vaishnava, Bengali Vaishnava, Gujarati Vaishnava. That is a hellish mentality. That is a hellish mentality. Nartakisa. So, to really benefit from what Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada came to give us, we have to understand what they taught and what they practiced so that we can follow their instructions and example. So, here I was discussing Lord Chaitanya speaking to the Mayavadi sannyasis. And the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis, there was a meeting of all the sannyasis of Varanasi, and the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis asked Lord Chaitanya, why don't you study Vedanta? All sannyasis are supposed to study Vedanta. And Lord Chaitanya replied, Guru More Murki Deki Karila Shashana, that my spiritual master considered me to be a fool, and therefore he chastised me. Now this shows what should be the mood of a disciple in relation to the spiritual master. As Srila Prabhupada said, he should always feel himself to be a fool and be ready to be chastised by him. Of course, in the bodily concept of life, we get insulted. How dare he call me a fool? Doesn't he know who I am? In fact, one of Lord Chaitanya's chief disciples was Srila Sanatan Goswami, who was a very learned scholar. He was fluent in Sanskrit and Persian, and was very learned in scriptures and philosophies. And when he approached Lord Chaitanya, he told him that, this was actually in Varanasi, he told him that in ordinary dealings, people call me a learned scholar, pundit. But I am such a pundit that I do not even know who I am, or what is the goal of life. So please instruct me. So when we come to that position, that we feel that we are fools who need to be instructed, then we can approach a spiritual master. The same sort of incident took place in the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Arjuna was speaking with Krishna, more or less on an equal level, talking as friends. Krishna was telling Arjuna that he should fight, and Arjuna was coming up with so many reasons why he should not fight. And from a certain point of view, the reasons may have sounded good. But in the end, Arjuna came to the point where he admitted he really didn't know what he should do. And then he told Krishna, like Sanatana Goswami in a way, he told Krishna that now I am confused about my duty. Karpanya dosha, I have the, anyway, miserly weakness. And then he said, Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapanam. Now I am surrendering to you as your disciple. Please instruct me. And from that point, when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna as spiritual master, Krishna was able to instruct him and spoke the Bhagavad Gita. So, Lord Guru More Murka Deki Karila Shashana, Lord Chaitanya said, my spiritual master considered me to be a fool and he chastised me. He told me, you are not qualified to read Vedanta. Now, was Lord Chaitanya unqualified? He's Krishna himself. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vedanta Krit Vedavit, that he's the knower of the Vedas and the compiler of Vedanta. So certainly. But Lord Chaitanya was showing us the example that we should not be so proud that we think that we can understand Vedanta. Because in Kali Yuga, you really can't understand Vedanta. So he was setting the example. So my spiritual master considered me to be a fool, and he said, you are not qualified to study Vedanta. You just chant the holy names of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, I took the instructions of my spiritual master to heart, and I simply chanted the holy names of Krishna. And in due course, I began to experience various symptoms of trembling, crying, laughing, fainting, rolling on the ground, hair standing on end. And I began to think that my knowledge is being covered. So I approached my spiritual master for clarification. And I will just read that verse in purport. It's a very short purport. Yes. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as an ideal teacher, shows us how a disciple should deal with his spiritual master. Whenever there is doubt regarding any point, he should refer the matter to his spiritual master for clarification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that while chanting and dancing, he had developed the kind of mad ecstasy that is possible only for a liberated soul. Yet even in his liberated position, he referred everything to his spiritual master whenever there were doubts. Thus, in any condition, even when liberated, we should never think ourselves independent of the spiritual master, but must refer to him as soon as there is some doubt regarding our progressive spiritual life. Now, of course, anyway, there are details in how to apply this, but this is the principle, that even when we're liberated, we're not independent. We are still subservient to the spiritual master and are meant to be under the control of the spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master was very pleased because he could understand that Lord Chaitanya had developed ecstatic love for Godhead. And this is the benefit of chanting the holy names of Krishna properly. There are offenses to be considered when one chants the holy name, and if one commits offenses while chanting, one will not get the desired result. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bahu Janma, that one can chant the holy name for many lifetimes, hundreds of lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes. But if one's chanting is infested with offenses, he will not get pure love of Godhead, which is meant to be the result of the chanting. So it is understood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting without offense. Of course, he's Krishna, but as a devotee, that he was chanting without offense. And therefore, he developed ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead. And his spiritual master was very pleased. The spiritual master, it is said, the spiritual master takes more pleasure when he sees a disciple advance than when he advances himself. He takes more pleasure when he sees the disciple is making advancement. And if a disciple becomes a pure devotee, then the spiritual master considers that his mission is a complete success. So again, I will just skip ahead to an important verse and purport, a short purport. Text 91. Balahaila pailai tumi parama purushartha tomara premete ami hailan kriyatartha. This is Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master speaking to him. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to revealed scriptures, if a spiritual master can convert even one soul into a perfectly pure devotee, his mission in life is fulfilled. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur always used to say, even at the expense of all the properties, temples, and mutts that I have, if I could convert even one person into a pure devotee, my mission would be fulfilled. So we have heard about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he constructed a beautiful marble temple in Calcutta, the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, to preach Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, his disciples were very neophyte and materialistic, and they began to fight over the property. Who will have which room? Who will have what position? And when he was on parikrama in Vrindavan, this was one of the rare times that Srila Prabhupada got to be with his spiritual master personally. But his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, told him that there will be fire in the Gaudiya Math. He could see that there would be the fire of conflict and party interest. He said there will be fire in the Gaudiya Math. And he said that I have built this beautiful temple, marble temple, but now I'm seeing that my disciples are quarreling. If I could have used that money instead of building the marble temple, if I could have used that money to print books, it would have been better. And then he told Srila Prabhupada directly, if you ever get money, print books. And that direct instruction from his spiritual master became his guiding principle in his mission. Of course, he did everything. He also, because it's all part of the process, so he established deities, he established farm projects, he established schools, he did everything. But he took the instruction of his spiritual master to print and distribute books to heart. So Prabhupada is quoting his Guru Maharaj here. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur always used to say, even at the expense of all the properties, temples, and mutts that I have, if I could convert even one person into a pure devotee, my mission would be fulfilled. It is, then Srila Prabhupada continues, it is very difficult, however, to understand the science of Krishna, not to speak of developing love of Godhead. Therefore, if by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and the spiritual master, a disciple attains the standard of pure devotional service, the spiritual master is very happy. The spiritual master is not actually happy if the disciple brings him money. But when he sees that a disciple is following the regulative principles and advancing in spiritual life, he is very glad and feels obliged to such an advanced disciple. So, here, of course, we accept money to use in Krishna's service, but not at the expense of following the regulative principles of devotional service. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada presents this dichotomy. The two don't have to be opposed to each other, but they can be opposed to each other, because money is such a thing that even devotees who are trying to make advancement get bewildered. I mean, money is such a thing. In fact, on one morning walk on Juhu Beach, Srila Prabhupada quoted Chanakya Pandit that money is simply a botheration. It's simply trouble. To get money is a problem. To hold on to the money is a problem. And when you lose the money, that's also a problem. At every stage, money is a problem. So, here, Srila Prabhupada says, the spiritual master is not actually happy if the disciple brings him money. But when he sees that a disciple is following the regulative principles and advancing in spiritual life, he is very glad and feels obliged to such an advanced disciple. So, reading this reminded me of an incident in Juhu. Many of you may know that Srila Prabhupada established a very big, beautiful temple at Juhu Beach in Bombay. And one evening, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the terrace of one of the buildings at the back. This was before we actually got permission to build anything on the property, so there was just there were some tenement buildings with some tenants, and one of the tenants left, so at least we got one apartment for Srila Prabhupada where he could stay. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the terrace in the evening, and his disciple Haridas was fanning him the late afternoon or evening. And at 7 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada said to Haridas, "Did you hear that?" And Haridas strained to hear. And he said, "No." Srila Prabhupada said, "You don't hear the sound of kirtan coming from the temple?" And Haridas Prabhu listened. He said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, I don't." And Srila Prabhupada said, "That is exactly the point. There is no kirtan in the temple. It's arti time, but there is no kirtan in the temple. Where are all the devotees?" And Haridas Prabhu said, "Well, Srila Prabhupada, they must have gone to the city to collect for the project, and they haven't come back yet." Actually, there was a little speculation there, because it just so happened that that night we were attending a funeral. We were having a program at the widow of one of our best life members and donors, so it wasn't quite what Haridas said, but the point is very instructive. Srila Prabhupada said, "That was not my idea, that the devotees should go out all day to collect money." Then Srila Prabhupada asked Haridas, Do you know why we were successful in getting this land? There's a big struggle, if any of you have read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, and I do recommend that every devotee read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. And anyway, the owner of the land, Mr. Nair, was a very prominent person in Bombay. He had been the sheriff of Bombay, and he owned one of three English daily newspapers in Bombay. And he was a wealthy man and influential. So Srila Prabhupada said to Hari Das, "Do you know why we were successful and Mr. Nair wasn't? He had money. We had no money. He had influence. He knew people in high places. We had no influence. And he had power. We had no power. But still, we were successful, and he was not." Jai Shri Shri Radhanila Madhava Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. I just looked at my watch, so I will just finish this story. So Srila Prabhupada said, why were we successful and not Mr. Nair? Haridas didn't know what to answer. Then Srila Prabhupada himself answered. He said, because we were working to please Krishna, and Mr. Nair was working for himself, for his sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada said, we were not successful by our own endeavors. We were successful because we acted to please Krishna. And because Krishna was pleased, he gave us his mercy and we became successful. So he said, that was not my idea, that the devotees should go out all day and come back late collecting money. They should come back, they should leave the city at 5 o'clock and come back and chant and dance in front of the deities. And when the deities are pleased, by their mercy we will be successful. We will not be successful by our own endeavors. So this is a very important principle in devotional service, that whatever we do, we should do for the pleasure of Krishna and depend on the mercy of Krishna. We cannot be successful by our own independent endeavors. There's another saying that without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even easy things, become difficult. And with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even difficult things become easy. So we should endeavor to please Lord Chaitanya. We should endeavor to please the deities. we should endeavor to please Srila Prabhupada by following their instructions and adopting their mood. And by that endeavor, under proper guidance, we will be successful. We will be successful in our own personal spiritual lives, and we will be successful in preaching, in spreading the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on this auspicious occasion, we pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and their associates to bless us, to free us from the anarthas and avidya within our hearts, to purify our hearts, and empower us to serve them properly as they would like. That's the only way we can be successful. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in America, he wrote a beautiful poem just on his arrival, not knowing anyone, not having any money, not having any influence. And he prayed to Lord Krishna, that same mood. That same mood was there from the very beginning until the very end. He prayed to Lord Krishna that, how will I be able to convince them of your message? They're covered by nature's modes of passion and ignorance. How will I convince them? It's a beautiful poem. Again, we should study it. It's in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, but we should study whatever we can about Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said that that please, yeah, that you have given me the name Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti means devotion, and Vedanta means knowledge or the end of knowledge. He said, you have given me the name Bhakti Vedanta, but I have no knowledge and no devotion. But you are the most expert mystic. So if you like, you can empower me. You can make my words suitable for their understanding. And then at the very end, he said that I am a puppet in your hands. Just a puppet. What life does a puppet have? What exists? Nothing. It's just like a limp doll. So that was Prabhupada's humility. He said, I am just a puppet in your hand. So, O Lord, make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. So that should be our mood. Just puppets in the hands of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, the deities. Just make me your puppet. I have no capacity on my own. Make me your puppet, O Lord, and make me dance as you like. So in that mood, we can get this priceless treasure that Lord Chaitanya came to the world to give us, and that Srila Prabhupada came to the West and traveled all over the world to give us. And so we pray for their mercy, that we may open our hearts to the gift that they came to give us and receive it in the proper mood. And, you know, when we truly accept it in our hearts, then we can also give it to others, share it with others, and that's the second half, to accept it and to share it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.